order the service. I have a thought that the Lord has laid upon her heart. I want to say, first and foremost, when it comes to preaching, I'm not picky-choosy, I guess you could say. I don't sit around and think, well, that'd be a real good subject for me to go preach on, and then try to go preach on. That won't work. But I try to meditate and pray about what it is that God might have me to bring, that not only that it might be a help to me, but it might be a help to you. I try to meditate over those things and ask God that He might give me clarification and that I might be able to study on it the best way that I can, that I might be able to bring it to you, that it might be a help to you, that you might take the Word of God and apply it to your life, because that's what I have to do. And oftentimes, I promise you, it'll hit me at my home before I ever bring it to you. The Lord helps us and He shows us things from time to time. And certainly this week He has done that. I want to say this before I get too far into my subject, and I'll not tarry on it too awful long. I want to apologize to the church. Last Sunday there was a misunderstanding in regards to having a preaching brethren scheduled to come Sunday night. And regardless of the misunderstanding, I'll take responsibility for that because I'm the pastor of this church and that lot falls upon my shoulders. And if I have ever, before this time or Sunday, offended you, I want to apologize to you thoroughly this morning and ask you that you might forgive me. I will try in our very weak way to do better. And pray for me that the Lord might help us to do better. That's my desire. My desire this morning is not to do better that I might be glorified. It's not about me. But my desire is that I might do better that He might be glorified. I want Him to receive all the honor and glory. When we stand up to sing and to sing praises unto God, which is what we do, I want Him to receive all the honor and glory. I want, when we preach the gospel, I want Him to receive all the honor and glory. Everything that we do is so that Jesus Christ, the one that came and gave His life for us, might receive all the honor and glory. That's what it's all about this morning. I don't necessarily have a title for a subject. I have thought about it this week some and some on. And last night talking, Jessica, we were talking a little bit about it. And I told someone this morning I'm not superstitious by no means. But we don't talk about what it is that the Lord's going to have me to bring. We don't talk about it. She don't know. Before I come here, she's like everybody else. She don't know. She said, but I hope that it's something uplifting. And I said, well, I don't know. We'll just have to see, hon. We'll just have to see. I just want the Lord to be lifted up. That's what I want. This morning I pray that the Lord might empty us, that He might use us. I want you to know, as we was talking about her earlier, that there's a lot of things that's affecting this world that we live in, even our young people. There's a great deal of disturbances that goes on in the world, whether it be drug-related or whether it is that young boys can't decide whether they're boys or girls, or vice versa. There's things that are going on in the world today that the church and the people of God must stand against. It is an abomination unto the Lord. And that's not because I say it, but it's because the Word of God says it. And we have to stand against those things. It's not that we stand against it in a way that's arrogant. There's a way to go about it in a way that is loving. In a way that when you get a hold of your children and you try to discipline them and you try to talk to them, you do it in a way out of love. And my friend, this morning, I believe in all of my heart we can still help the world in love. But my friend, we've got to stand against those things. I want you to know, if we're not real careful, sin affects every one of us. And this morning, I want you to know that some of the things that the Lord wants us to try to deal with. Normally, I don't read my my text first, but I want to go over here in the 127th division of Psalms for our text this morning, and then we'll be going to 1 Samuel. Psalms, do pray for us for just a little while. Psalms in 127. He said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, laboreth in vain. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And I want to go over this morning, and I'll give you time to get over there in 1 Samuel in the 4th chapter. 1 Samuel in the 4th chapter. Starting in the 3rd verse. He says, and when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord of Shiloh unto us, that when it is cometh among us, that it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent unto Shiloh, that they may bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between two cherubims. And the sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And the Philistines heard the noise of the shout. They said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing hereunto. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians in all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quiet yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been unto you. Quiet yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought Israel, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And I want to stop there just for a moment in time. And just as a little bit of history, and I'll try not to dwell on it too awful much. But we find here, if you go back in the first chapter, you'll find that Eli, who being the priest and a judge over Israel, the Bible says, some 40 years. And we'll find here that he had become very old in his age. And as we begin to read about Hannah, as you examine that first chapter over there, a woman by the name of Hannah who prayed for this child, no doubt had went to Eli and sought him out that he might be able to go before the Lord and declare that she might be able to bear a child, for she was barren. And she made a statement there that if the Lord would give her a child, she would dedicate that child unto the Lord. And we know there that she done those things, and she weaned that child, and she made a dedication and kept her word unto the Lord, as the Bible says. But Eli, even in that moment, he began to think that she was drunkenness. If you'll look back, he thought that she was drunken because of the way that she was acting there. He couldn't recognize the Spirit of God that had come upon this woman. He realized and thought that maybe she was drunken. And the Bible goes on to talk about here how Samuel, being a young child and was growing up in the Lord, and how that the voice of God began to speak out to him. And yet we find there in the second chapter that no doubt that the Lord got a hold to him, and yet he went calling out to Eli. And he said, Eli. And Eli said, I've not called for thee. And yet he went there three times. And Eli, recognizing that the Lord was speaking to him, he said, listen, when the Lord calls out to you, he said, you call out to him. And I don't want to mess that up. But he says, when the Lord shall call out to thee. Pray for us for a minute. I want to slow down here. That's in the third chapter. He said, when the Lord shall call out to thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And so Samuel went to lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at the other times, and Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered and said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord began to talk to him and began to declare unto him the things that would befall upon Eli's house, would befall upon his two sons. And his two sons, this Hophni and Phinehas here, were priests in the Lord in the Lord's service, and they conducted and ministered unto the things of the tabernacle and the things that God would have them to do. And we find here in their place of worship, if you will, for we know that the temple wasn't built yet. And they ministered and done these things. But the Bible says that they didn't know God. They didn't serve the Lord. Yet they were doing things that were not fitting of ministers. They were doing things that were contrary to what they knew was right. They were doing things that was an abomination unto the service of the Lord. And you say, well, preacher, that's pretty hard for you to call things an abomination. Well, listen to me this morning. I want you to understand God calls sin for what it is. It's sin. He calls it for what it is. He said, it's sin. And Eli, being a priest as he was, he wasn't willing to deal with it. He wasn't willing to deal with it. This morning, I want you to know, church, when sin comes into your life, you've got to deal with it. You've got to do something about it. I'm telling you, sin is destroying this world that we're living in. It's tearing us apart. It's all around us, and it has been from the very beginning. But honey, I'm telling you this morning, it's important for the children of God to get the sin out of their life the best that they can. The best that they can. I'm not telling you this morning that you're going to be perfect in every aspect of your life, but I'm telling you this morning you need to seek out the counsel of God that He might clean your life up the best that He can. I'm telling you, I struggle with things. I struggle with things just as much as anybody else. Just because I'm a preacher of the gospel, I want you to know this morning that I'm not perfect. I fall short every day. And I believe the Apostle Paul, I believe over there that he made a statement about crucifying the flesh. It's important that we as the children of God recognize sin when it comes into our life. When we leave this place and we go throughout the week and we go throughout our homes and we're back at home or we're in the workplace My friend, how much of your day consists of Jesus Christ? You say, well, preacher, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But honey, I want to know how much of your day consists of Jesus. How much time are you making for the Lord? You say, well, preacher, you work a full-time job and you pastor a church and you're raising a family and you've got everything else in the world going on. You're right. And I'm not saying this to brag, and I could make more time, but honey, I'm telling you, I do everything that I can. I'll try. It was after 1 o'clock before I went to bed last night. Laid up wrestling with this message. It got all over me. Jessica went to bed. She said, can you come to bed early tonight? I said, honey, I don't know. We'll just have to see. Laid up wrestling with it. How often are you staying up wrestling with what God has given you to do? How often are you staying up wrestling with the lost that's in your family? How much time are you making for Jesus? Or is the things of the world just got a hold of you so much that you can't concentrate? We've got ourselves in a position, and I'll get to my subject in a minute. Bear with me. I'm not trying to. We've got ourselves in a position when we come to the Lord's house. We sit back and say, Lord, how much can you bless me? How much can you bless me? Church, we need to be asking when we come through those doors, Lord, how much can I bless you? It's not about, Lord, how much can you bless me, and I want to walk here and my cup over there flowing. Honey, when you come into the house of God and it's, Lord, what can I do for you? You want to know what will happen? He'll fill your cup up. Jessica was talking about here the other day. We got to where we watched the Waltons around our home. There ain't nothing else in the camp worth watching on TV. And Braxton, being just a little feller, he's got to where he enjoys. He says, Daddy, can we watch the Waltons? The other day we was watching him. That old grandpa on that show, his coffee cup was overflowing. And that old coffee was hot, and you know what he did? He poured it into his saucer so that that coffee would cool. And Jessica said, well, that's odd. I've never seen that before. Honey, when your cup overfloweth, it'll run into that saucer. And boy, I tell you, it comes into your heart, and it'll fill you up. And sometimes the spirit is so warm, it's got to sit there. You don't know what to do with it. It just comes in and overflows. I'm telling you, church, it's not about how much can you bless me, but it's about, God, how much can I bless you? What can I do for you, Lord? He said over there in Psalms, except the Lord build the house, they that laboreth work in vain. Except God do it, they that laboreth work in vain. Honey, God's got to do it. It's not about the preacher. It's not about this or that. It's about God. And asking Him before we get here, Lord, would you meet with us this morning? Would you come in with us? Would you settle in the midst of our services? Listen, as we talk about this sin that had come into the camp, these people thought, listen, the Israelites, never in this magnitude before. Yeah, if you read back through Joshua, and when they crossed over Jordan River coming into Canaan land, those Levites took the ark and they hoisted it upon their shoulders and they crossed over Jordan River, the Bible says, on dry ground. As they marched around Jericho, my friend, they took the ark before them. But my friend, I want you to know that this ark was just a symbol of the presence of God. It was a symbol They was to reverent it. It was to be respected. It was to be uplifted. This mercy seat was on the lid of this golden lid, my friend. And I thought maybe sometime, if the Lord would permit me, I'd love to preach on that subject. But inside, they had that golden bowl there with the manna. And they had Aaron's rod that budded. And they had God's law. And the mercy seat overshadowed God's broken law, that He would give mercy. And yet I want you to know that that was a representation and a symbol unto them. But they thought, boy, if we'll take this ark, surely we'll be able to defeat these Philistines. Surely. Well, previously, in the beginning of this chapter, if you'll read, that they had done battle against them once, and 4,000 men had died. Here they go again. They said, surely, if we take the ark before us, we'll win this battle. My friend, I want you to know this morning that everything else has to get out of the way. I'm telling you, it's not about putting on a show. It's not about any of that stuff. God knows our heart this morning. He knows whether we're putting on a show. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about us. The Bible says that even the hairs on our head are numbered. He knows our heart. He knows if we come in here to worship Him and praise His holy name. He knows. It ain't about the preacher. I've heard people say, boy, we need strong leadership. We do. You want to know who the leader is? Look to Jesus. He's the head of the church. It ain't me. Peter said not to be a lord over God's heritage. Honey, I'm to be an under-shepherd. I'm not the leader. I'm not the boss. He is. You say, well, preacher, you're supposed to be our spiritual leader. And honey, pray for me. You want me to help you? Pray for me. You want me to be a better preacher? Honey, pray for me. You want your children to be saved? Pray for the gospel that it goes out. I'm still a believer, and honey, you can fall out with me if you want to. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God is what the Roman letter says, and I believe it. They got to hear about Jesus. By the foolishness of preaching. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's all about Him. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. They took this ark. They got out in front of it. They began to shout, and the floor began, they said the earth began to quake. Honey, you get out in front of God, and He'll let you fall flat on your face every time. You get out in front of Him, He'll let you fall. Don't ever think too highly of yourself to get out in front of God, and I'm talking about me. How often is it that we try to take sin and we just pick the rug up and we just want to keep sweeping it underneath? You know what happens eventually? There's a lump in the rug. It becomes something we can't get around anymore. Listen to me. Maybe this morning I ain't making no sense to you. And if I ain't, I'm sorry. I can't help it. Jessica, we got a cellar over at home. This old cellar was broke down. She'd been on me for 5 years. 5 years. She'd keep reminding me. They say, honey, when you going to fix up that old cellar? Old door was, oh, I'm trying not to get emotional. I'm sorry. I can't help it. An old door was broke down. The door wasn't no count on it. It wouldn't even hardly close. It let in the wind and the rain. Had about 2 foot of water in the bottom of it. Had a window on the side of it. The old window was broke. Every 4 or 5 months it'd go by, she'd say, when you going to work on that old cellar for me? I kept letting it go. I didn't want to have to deal with it. Opened up the door. The door was rotten. Old termites had tore down the door of it. Inside the bottom of it, there was old dead cow bones in there. It was a mess. It had the awfulest mess of mud in there you'd ever seen, sediment in the bottom of it. It was a mess. It had a hole on the top of it. My boys thought it was funny to drop rocks down through the top of it. You ain't never seen something as nasty in all your life. Finally, it come to a point, my boys kept pushing on the door, trying to get in. And she said, you're going to have to deal with this at some point. So finally, I took and tore the door down. And I pumped all the water out. And I began to shovel all that old muck out of there the best that I could. Pumped it all out. Cleaned the floor up. Got her where she's looking good. Built the door back on it. Honey, I'm telling you, if you'll let it, sin will build up in your life. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a point that you're going to have to deal with it. It will destroy you. It'll destroy you. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I believe when you lost, you separated from God. Amen to that. Amen. Listen, I've got 30 verses. I'm not going to preach on all of it this morning. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to get all this out. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah 64. And I'm not saying this arrogantly. If y'all are mad at me after this, and honey, y'all just whip you, just have your time with me. But I've got to preach what the Lord puts on my heart. I've got to. I get tired of failing Him. I know that I'll fail you. But I don't want to fail Him. Listen to what Isaiah says in the 64th chapter. He says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither hath ears I seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee and thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon the name of the Lord, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. My friend Isaiah said, for we have all sinned. We are all as filthy rags our righteousness is. But my friend, I want you to know, he said about their iniquities. David said over in Psalms 51, he said, in thy mother's womb, he said, was I conceived in sin. My friend, we come into this world in sin, and we're going to continue in sin. But my friend, we might not be able to live above sin, but honey, we can live above reproach. Reproach to the Lord's church. It may not seem like a big deal to you. And maybe it is, and maybe you're mad at me. I failed Sunday, and I'm sorry. But honey, that stuff bothers me. Because I don't want to fail Him. I know that I'm just a sinner, but honey, thanks be unto God, I'm a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God. They took His ark out before them. They began to shout. They got out in front of the Lord. They thought, boy, we've got the ark. The presence of God is going to be there. Church, you want to feel the presence of God? You want to feel the Holy Spirit each and every time we come in here? Don't start asking at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning for Him to meet you. That's not going to work. You start asking God Monday morning as soon as your feet plant the ground. Lord, if You count us worthy to meet back in Your house one more time. See, what's so special, church? I'm sorry this is a scattered mess, but I'm just giving you my heart this morning. What's so special is we may never, ever meet in this magnitude again. Never again. God has given us today. Lost person, God has given us right now. Today, that you might be saved. He's not said that you've got next Sunday. He's not even said that you've got 10 minutes from now. But we've got right now. You want the church to meet with us? Excuse me, you want the Lord to meet with us? You start asking for it before we even get here. And you say, well, preacher, I have been. And honey, keep on doing it. Don't get out in front of the Lord. You just say, Lord, wherever You lead and guide, I'll go. You want to know what I believe in my heart? Had these Israelites truly humbled themselves and repented of their sin, and called upon the name of the Lord, which is where our help comes from. I believe in everything that makes me up, He would have fought their battle for them. Is it not the way that it is today? When we go through battles of this life, does He not come and meet us? But honey, how often does it take for us to surrender to Him? How many times does He got to come up behind us and beat us with a 2x4 before we surrender? I do. I'm just being honest with you. These Philistines were there, and it says they were afraid. For they said, God is coming to the camp. My friend, I want you to know this morning, when God comes into this camp, my friend, sinners will tremble. They'll tremble. How do I know that? Because, honey, I've experienced it before. When God comes into the camp, my friend, people will shout. When God comes into the camp, God's people will turn their heart to Him again. But honey, I want you to know before that time comes, you've got to get the sin that's besetting us out of the way. I think about that song the primitive court sings. Lord, would You empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with Thee. Shine down upon me and fill me anew in every way, Lord. Let me be more like You. Lord, empty me. That poor widow woman that you read about over there, I believe it's in the 4th chapter, 2 Kings, she had very little oil, the Bible says. Very little oil. She spoke there to the prophet Elijah, and he told her what he must do. She said, you go to your neighbor and you borrow vessels, so much so that you don't think you'll even be able to fill them up. And she took what very little she had, and she began to fill up so many vessels, listen, she began to overrun. When you empty yourself to God, He'll take you what little that you've got. And I'm telling you this morning, it's very little. And He'll use it for His honor and for His glory. He does the big things. We do the little things. Listen to me this morning. You want God in the camp? Get strive and contention out of your heart. And ask God to meet us. It's got to be gone. You can't have that and serve God. It won't work. Listen to me, you can be mad. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings this morning. I'm talking about God, His presence, coming into this place. Get the sin out of the way. And say, God, You're bigger than this. You're bigger than me. Take me and use me. I'm about done. I'm going to read to you what he says over here in John 15. If you've never read the 15th chapter of John, do me a favor this week and go home and read about it. His love for His church and how much He loves you. I'm going to be very brief here. John in the 15th chapter says this. In the 5th verse, he says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. For without him, we can do nothing. For without him, honey, you know how many times I sit back here and boy, I'm so nervous. My hands are sweating. Listen to me, maybe you don't like my deportment, and if you don't, that's fine. But my hands back here are sweating. I've got to where I don't even take my jacket off anymore because I'm embarrassed of my sweat. I sit back here and I'm nervous. But when I stand behind this book board, it was like I was where I was born to be. Because without Him, I can do nothing. Without Jesus, church, we can do nothing. Without Him, our lost can't be saved. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do a thing. We might work all we want to and labor all we want to and sing songs, but honey, without the Spirit of God, we will accomplish nothing. Nothing. You want revival? You want... Raise your hand. You want revival? God knows your heart this morning. Ask Him for it. Ask Him. You believe this morning that God can just break out? I do. I was talking to a young man this week. He said, Brother Cole, you come from a different part of the country. He said, we do things a little bit different over in this area. Bless your heart, we serve the same God as we did over at Macon County. He's the same God. This church might have a different personality, but I promise you, if you've been born again, then you've been saved by the same Spirit I've got. My deportment may be different than any other preacher you've ever had, bless your heart. And God will work all that out. But it's the same Spirit. And if you want revival, if you want God to come into this place, it's not about sitting there, boy, I want to get filled up this morning. It ain't about that. It's about God, what can I do to fill you up? You know what the Bible says? It says that we are the apple of His eye. Now, would you think about that for a moment? I think about my boys. And them boys are the apple to my eye. Ooh-wee, I love my children. I mean, I love my children. But you know what else? You love your children too, don't you? They're the apple to your eye. But you want to know what? David said that we are the apple of His eye. He loves His children. And He wants to use you. He wants to use you. And what a privilege. It's a privilege to be used by God for His honor and for His glory. It's a privilege. Listen to me this morning. I'm going to be done. Bless your heart, I've made a mess of it. Corinthians in the second chapter, Paul said, I believe it's in the sixth chapter, 2 Corinthians. If it ain't, get with me after service. He said, the Lord chasteneth who He loveth. You say, preacher, I don't want to deal with that sin in my life. You're going to have to deal with it at some point. You can't keep sweeping it under the rug. You can't keep looking at it every day. You want to know what's so sweet about it? Is when you finally do deal with it, He cast it as far from the east is to the west. Never, never to be remembered. It's gone. The Lord chasteneth who He loveth. I don't want my boys to be mean to them. I ain't never raised my hand to them. But now when I speak to them and Daddy gets a voice, you better know that they know who's talking to them. I demand respect in my home. And I demand, they may be little fellas, but I'm telling you this, they're going to have reverence in the house of God too. This is the Lord's house. I ain't never raised my hand to them boys. And I never will. But now I'll just be public with you. I get a hold of them. I whoop my children. And I don't sit here in a prideful manner about it. I always heard my daddy say when I was just a little boy, my daddy would whoop me, that man. Grew up, he was a hard man. I got many a whoopings with a belt by him. Daddy would tell you one time, and that's all he'd tell you. Many times daddy wore me out. And you better believe he didn't threaten me time and time again when daddy said, I'm fixing to get a hold of you. You better believe he's fixing to get a hold of me. And I'm the same way with my boys. I'll look at them and I'll tell them, boys, I'm fixing to get you. I don't do it because I'm mad at him. I'm telling you, I whooped him boys. And I went in the bedroom, and tears have fallen from my eyes because it's broke their little heart that Daddy had to whoop them. And honey, I'm telling you that God takes no honor in chastening his children. But honey, he does it because he loves you. And some of the best whoopings I've ever had, some of the worst ones that I've ever got in my life, is from him. And he's whooped me. And he's wore me out. And he's corrected me that I might be able to walk closer to him. Listen to me this morning. If we want God in the camp, don't get before him. You're going to have to deal with it. That story goes on a lot farther. He said there was one that came and made a report of it. He was covered in dust and ashes. He was a Benjamite, the Bible says. He come and made his report to Eli. And Eli done been told because of the sin of his two sons and his unwillingness to deal with it, that his house would be destroyed. His lineage would. When he heard about the Philistines taking the ark, God allowed 30,000 more Israelites to die. When the Philistines took the ark of God, and that's a whole different story about what come to them and the returning of it. I won't get into all that today. But it said Eli, being an old man, when he heard about his sons dying, that didn't hurt his heart. When he heard about the 30,000 Israelites that died, that didn't hurt his heart. But when he heard that the ark of God had been taken, it said he fell back in his chair and he broke his neck and he died. He was 98 years old. Listen to me, church. We've got to keep holding on. Holding on. We're going to fail each and every day. But honey, I'm telling you, and I'm the first to admit it, we've got to deal with the sin that's in our life. And bless your heart if you think you ain't got no sin, and that's between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you, there's sin. And I'm guilty. Get it out of your life. Do the best you can to deal with it. Get yourself cleaned up. Chronicles said this, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, he said, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Church, let's empty ourselves. Have you truly ever emptied yourself? You want to see revival? You want to see people saved? You want the Lord to move in a big and mighty way? And I ain't saying that the Lord ain't moving. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't find no place in contentment. I don't find no place of slowing down. I'm going to keep hammering right on. And I'm going to keep it going. Deal with the sin that's in your life. Ask God to help you empty yourself. That's our message. Brother Strode, I'm done. Finally. Some of y'all said amen already. Let's stand and have a song.